Hi, I'm Kristen Bell. Carvana makes car buying easy. Isn't that right, hun? Dax? Dax?
Sorry, did you know about this 7-day money-back guarantee?
A week to evaluate seat comfiness, you say?
A week of terrain tests? Yeah, I can test the brake pad resistance at variable speeds.
Make sure all the kids' stuff fits nicely.
Make sure our stuff fits nicely.
Oh, the...
Right. Still need to buy the car. Getting ahead of ourselves here.
Buy your car with Carvana today.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Happy Monday to you. I'm sorry, I'm still chuckling over this Jeff Bezos rocket launch earlier today. Did you catch it? It was wall-to-wall news coverage across America as if we had somehow just landed people on Mars. And Bezos, on the the Blue Origins, is his version of what Elon's doing over at SpaceX. Anyway, Bezos decided to blast six women into space, all feminist, by the way. Chief among them is Katy Perry, the pop singer. Is she still doing American Idol? That was the last I've heard from her. She was one of the judges on American Idol. And then you had Oprah's special friend, Gayle King, among the four females on the rocket ship. By the way, and they're heralding this as some sort of a great moment for feminism, because now you've got these six feminists boldly going where no feminist has gone before. And people are just going bonkers about this. They're claiming it as some sort of a great milestone for womanhood in America. So the ladies also, we got some audio from this, and this is not the big story of the day, but I'm puzzled by all of this. So they're basically cosplaying astronauts, right? So you had Katy Perry last week announcing that they were going to be putting the ass in astronauts. I don't know what that means, but they all showed up today wearing these custom-made, form-fitting spacesuits, and they blasted into space for all of 11 minutes, and then they came back down to Earth. And the ladies are literally being heralded as astronauts. But the truth is, the only reason they were actually invited to be on that little spaceship is because they were either famous, or they paid millions of dollars in cash, or they just happened to be Jeff Bezos' fiance. One of them was they're getting married. So those were the only reasons those women were on board. As a matter of fact, they weren't even allowed to touch anything. I think it was in the contract. Those women were told to sit down, put on their seatbelts, and hang on for dear life. But they weren't allowed to touch anything. All of that was being controlled remotely, probably by some man. So they were, so again, they were literally passengers. But they're heralding themselves as astronauts now. By the way, the first American woman in space was actually a woman named Sally Ride. Anybody remember Sally Ride? She was accepted into the space program back in 1977, and after years of grueling work and training, she was finally named to a space mission. She flew in the Space Shuttle Challenger back in, 1983, spent 14 days orbiting planet Earth. Now, that's an astronaut. But Sally Ride has literally been shoved aside so these modern women can be celebrated as these glammed up space babes who promised to put the ass in astronaut. Oh, by the way, may I just ask, I don't know, Dieter, Have you seen the actual spaceship? It's very peculiar, and I don't want to go there. But you know, this is all about feminism. Have you noticed that Jeff Bezos' spaceship looks strikingly like a certain male appendage? Anybody notice the phallicness of Jeff Bezos' little rocket ship? The one that these six gals rode into space today. Just throwing that out there. So anyway, you've got all these feminists, and they're just celebrating. They're gushing. By the way, this is Katy Perry, the singer, Astronaut Perry. Here's what she had to say.
It is the highest high, and it is surrender to the unknown, trust, and this whole journey is not just about going to space. It's the training, it's the team, it's the whole thing. I couldn't recommend this experience more. This is like up there with all the, you know, different tools that I've learned in my life, from meditation to the Hoffman process. This is up there because what you're doing is you're like really finding the love for yourself, because you got to trust in yourself on this journey. And then you're feeling the love when you come down, for sure. And you're feeling that strength. So I feel really connected to that strong divine feminine right now.
Strong divine feminine. Who is she talking about? Is she suggesting that God is a woman? Guess again, Katy. Come on there, darling. Anyway, so Katy Perry is feeling that connection with the bunch of gals. Gayle King is also weighing in here about what happened during their 11-minute journey into outer space.
To me, it's such a reminder about how we need to do better, be better. Do better, be better, human beings. It's
and what do you mean by that?
Processing. Well, it's so nasty and so vitriolic nowadays. And I mean, if everybody could experience that peace that we had up there, and the kindness, and what it takes to do what we did, all the people that it took to get us up there and get us back safely, I'll never, ever, ever forget.
Okay. A couple of things here. By the way, there was no peace. They had six women in space. They were screaming like banshees up there, and we've got it all on audio. They were like, woohoo, woohoo, and then Katy Perry starts breaking out into a What a Wonderful World. What's that song that she's famous for, the fireworks song? Somebody suggested they ought to play that, but the problem is that song is all about a rocket going boom, 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 and I don't think they wanted that song connected to what happened today. So anyway, Katy Perry talking about how all of the strenuous training that was involved. What was that training? Okay, here's the seatbelt. Here's how you put it on, and hold on, girls, and here's the upchuck bag. So CBS, they were doing wall-to-wall coverage on this. I kid you not. It was hilarious. So they brought in a far-left scientist, and all of the spokespeople, they had like spokesbabes, all of the mission control, all women. So this was like an all-gals event. And so they brought in this far-left-wing scientist. Her name is Dr. Mae Jemison. And so the anchor, who's a dude, asked a very simple question, and you got to hear how this went down.
To help me correct that narrative, so explain to our audience why even a trip like this one, all the trips that we take into space, benefit mankind.
So it benefits humankind, and I'm going to keep correcting
mankind,
the man-made and the man missions, because this is exactly what this mission is about, is expanding the perspective of who does space.
Putting the man in her place. By the way, did anybody bother to tell her that humankind, human, H-U-M-A-N, honey, what are you going to do now? Call him person kind? Uh-oh, person, S-O-N, that's another male. Anyway, today was all about, I guess, man-hating in America. I have no idea why. But anyway, if the feminazis of America are going to celebrate this, more power to them. But what an insult to Sally Ride, the first woman, and by the way, who was also the first lesbian woman in space. What a double insult to Sally Ride. She gets shoved aside for whatever happened today, this spectacle. Unbelievable. Would you spend that much money to go up into outer space? Would you spend $20 million to get a seat on a rocket ship for all of 11 minutes? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Glad everybody's back home safe and sound. But I don't know if they're going to be. They may be on the next space shuttle mission. Who knows? All right. I want to talk about, and we're going to get to Bernie Sanders in just a moment and what AOC are up to. Do not underestimate what's happening out there with Bernie and AOC. And you do so at your own peril. They are churning out crowds. I don't know what these crowds are going to be doing, but we're going to get to that in just a moment. But I want to talk to you about the real ID. And I wrote something over the weekend that went viral, and conservatives are attacking me, once again calling me a closet leftist. But I got a problem with this real ID, because it looks to me this is nothing more than another attempt by the federal government to get my information, to get your information. It is the responsibility of the states to issue driver's licenses. That's the responsibility of the state. But now you've got the federal government stepping in, and the federal government is saying, well, that's not good enough. We need to create a federalized identification system so we can truly understand and know who you are. So all of this was birthed out of the Patriot Act. And I remember back in 2000, in the days after 9/11, I was one of the few conservatives in this country, aside from, well, I was just one of the few conservatives in this country who was strongly opposed to the creation of the Patriot Act. Because the entire premise of the Patriot Act was, we have to give up our civil liberties so that we can be safe. And in essence, the Patriot Act, which was pushed by George W. Bush and supported by just about every Republican in Congress, the Patriot Act set up a surveillance state in the United States of America. The Patriot Act actually created the TSA. Now, Dieter and Dylan, you guys may not know this, but there was a time when you went to the airport and you did not have a ticket. You could just walk with your family member to the jetway, and you could sit there and you could hang out with your family member. There was no such thing as a big burly TSA agent slapping on the rubber gloves and taking you to second base. They didn't have any of that. So all of this was birthed out of the Patriot Act. And a part of this was this real ID. So this thing was passed into law back in 2005, and they've been fighting about it so much that they're just now getting around to implementing all of this. And I got a big problem with it. We're going to play a lot of audio. We've got a lot of big stuff to talk about today, folks. Our telephone number, by the way, 901-260-5926. Again, that number, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Are you tired of destructive content flooding your screens? Well, I know I was, and that's why I joined the Angel Guild community. I wanted entertainment that inspires and uplifts, not drags us down. And with Angel Guild, I can vote on upcoming films and support movies that reflect values that I align with. Plus, I get early access to inspiring content. I no longer have Hollywood Entertainment pushing its agenda into my home. Angel Studios is leading the charge, creating high-quality, faith-filled films like Sound of Freedom, Cabrini, and my favorite, Homestead. Great movie, great series, by the way. These movies are powerful, impactful, and a must-see if you haven't already. If you want to make a real difference, where we put our dollars shapes the future of entertainment. So let's support content that amplifies light and protects our kids from harmful influences. Please join me in making a difference today. Visit angel.com/Starnes. That's angel.com/Starnes to join the Angel Guild now. All right, let's start the day in Morehead City, North Carolina. Lisa is on the line. Hi, Lisa. What's on your mind?
Hi, Todd. Again, don't sell to Soros. let me get my glasses because I wrote it down. Todd, I'm an XX chromosome individual, and we have sometimes we ramble, so I'm going to try to do this in less than 60 seconds. As far as the Patriot Act, I saw a bumper sticker the other day on a car that said, repeal the Patriot Act. And I know that there are law enforcement that listens to your commentary, and I'm sure that they will tell you, even if we repeal that law, those types of individuals in this country and other countries that have that technology, they will still spy on us, and they will still use that technology against us. So it's a waste of time, even if we repeal it, in my opinion. But that's it. I did it. I think I did it.
You did it under 60 seconds, but Lisa, do you remember those days when airline travel was so much easier? And before TSA and manhandling people, and you, God forbid, you show up with a bottle of Pepto-Bismol that's over the limit, and you become a criminal.
Right. Well, who wants you to be the criminal?
Exactly. And you, when you walk in, and maybe it's just me, but when you walk into an airport, it's almost as if you're walking into a little patch of North Korea, where it's just almost a chilling moment when you walk in and you realize that if you say the wrong thing, you look the wrong way, or God forbid you have some sort of, you know, contraband that you inadvertently left in your carry-on luggage, you could go to jail. You could be subdued by authorities, and nobody would know anything about it. I mean, it's just insanity. But the reality is, the TSA, they have never stopped a major terrorist attack at all. And again, the people who committed the heinous atrocities on 9/11 were Islamic radicals, mostly from Saudi Arabia. So there you go. Lisa, thank you for the call. And again, she's got a point here. They're not going to get rid of all the surveillance. And once you give up civil liberties to the federal government, you can't get them back. And we all discovered that after the China virus. And boy, what a shocking thing that was. What a terrifying thing that was. So many people willing to say, you know what, we don't need religious liberty. If it keeps us safe, as long as we don't get the sniffles, we don't need Jesus. That's what they were saying. I mean, you have preachers shutting down churches all over America. People willing to shut down their businesses only because the government said you had to do it. Well, I'm telling you, once the government knows they can control you at that level, it's all over. Let's go to Clear Lake City, Texas. Mike is listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Mike. What's on your mind?
Hello. Well, I'd like to know who's picking up the tab for AOC and Bernie Sanders, their travel, their lodging, their meals. I mean, they're on the campaign trail, and it's not even an election year. You know, who's picking up the, why aren't they in their district? Why aren't they in D.C. or at home, you know, at the home district meeting with constituents? Why are they on the campaign trail?
It's a fair question you ask, Mike, and a couple of good ones. I'll do my best to try and answer those for you. First of all, they are on the campaign trail because they are laying the foundation for the midterm elections, and they are trying to gin up the base of the Democrat Party. Now, I will tell you that by and large, the people I see out there at the protest, and I ran into a mess of them on Saturday in Memphis, and they had 200-300 people out there, mostly all older people. I would say the average age folks in their 50s and up. This money, and we're still researching exactly where the money is coming from, but I can tell you this. When you go onto Bernie Sanders' website and you make a contribution to his Fight the Oligarchy tour, that money is being funneled through Act Blue, which is a very dangerous political action committee run by the leftist. So, yeah, it's all being very well funded, and we're going to get to the bottom of it. We will find out who the donors are. But, Mike, we've got to be careful here, and we've got to understand that, yeah, a lot of these people may be getting paid, but do not underestimate the left here. They are trying to stir up a very dangerous group of people. And I'll explain more about that when we come back from the break. Mike, thank you for that. 901-260-5926, our number. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. Folks, we have some exciting news about MyPillow. They're having their first ever mega sale. Oh, that was, we needed some sound effects.
Where did that come from?
Mega sale. MyPillow having their first ever mega sale on overstock clearance and brand new products. For example, Ben Dieter, you're going to need these. You need 50%. You're going to save over 50% on flannel sheets. Queen size bed only $59.98. King size sheet $69.98, and they sell out fast every year. So you got to get an order that right now. You can also save 30% on their brand new My Crosses. They're designed in the likeness of the one that Mike Lindell has worn every day for over 20 years. They come in men's and women's styles, and they're made right here in the USA. Get the 2025 6-piece My Towel set for only $29.98. Their quantities are extremely low, so you're going to want to get them now before they go. And I can't forget to mention the best-selling standard MyPillow. I have 6 of them. I like a lot of pillows. $14.98. That is a huge deal. So take advantage of the first-ever mega sale. Go to MyPillow.com, use promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. That's 1-800-839-8506. But wait, there's more. Remember that $75 free shipping rule, Ben Dieter?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that ship has sailed, baby. The train has left the station. Because right now, for a limited time, every order at MyPillow ships for free. MyPillow.com, promo code STARNS, or call 800-839-8506. Here is Kristi Noem, the Secretary for the Department of Homeland Security, and talking about these real IDs. Look, you're going to have one of these real IDs if you want to fly in the United States or if you want to enter a federal building. And all of this starts on May 7th. Cut number 10.
Hi, I'm Kristi Noem, the United States Secretary of Homeland Security. If you plan on traveling, we need your help to prevent delays and to prove your identity. Get a real ID. Starting May 7th, you will need a real ID to travel by air or to visit federal buildings in the United States. These IDs keep our country safe because they help prevent fraud and they enhance security. Please do your part to protect our country. Go today and don't delay. To learn more, go to dhs.gov/real-ID. Thank you.
Well, there you go. I believe, is yet another overstep by the federal government. Have we not been safe thus far? I mean, this is going all the way back to 9/11, 2001. We've been getting along just fine, ladies and gentlemen. And by the way, TSA, they have yet to stop a major terrorist attack. Those attacks were actually stopped by law-abiding citizens who saw something and said something, and in some cases did something. Let's go to West Tennessee. Gregory, listening to us on WTJS. Hi, Gregory, what's on your mind?
Oh, I was just listening to you brag about the TSA and all the stuff that's taken place since 9/11, and it brought to mind all the millions of dollars we wasted on the color code system for the alert system. And if you remember those big fat crayons we had back in kindergarten, that's pretty much what we spent millions of dollars on, is to come up with a color code system that matched those. And then I was going to say, I ran into a TSA agent over at the Dallas-Fort Worth airport that was upset that he couldn't leave the airport to go to his home to join some investigators because his house got broken into and he had a bunch of guns stolen.
Well, there you go. You know, I forgot all about the color-coded National Terrorism Advisory System, much like the National Weather Service when they issue all these tornado warnings and we never actually have tornadoes. So, yeah, I'm not surprised that we've spent millions and millions of our tax dollars. But again, creating a brand new cabinet position immediately after 9/11. And honestly, I think it was, again, the surveillance state in this country, the deep state, seeing an opportunity, taking advantage of that opportunity to basically spy on the American people. And that's what we're dealing with here. All right, Gregory, thank you for that call. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. So look, President Trump is meeting at this hour with the president of El Salvador, and they're having a big meeting in the Oval Office right now. And there's been a lot of controversy over this guy by the name of Armando Abrego Garcia. So he was in our country illegally, and he was deported. Now, the media will tell you, oh, this guy was wrongly deported. What they won't tell you is this guy was a member of MS-13, one of the most dangerous gangs out there. And by the way, Trump designated MS-13 as a foreign terrorist organization, and they are heavily involved in human trafficking. So the guy got sent down to El Salvador. And now the courts are stepping in, and the courts are saying, no, you can't do that, Mr. President. And they're telling the president they've got to bring this guy, this very dangerous guy, back to America. So Trump just announced from the White House that's not going to happen. He is not going to obey the courts. He is well within his rights as president of the United States to determine who can and who cannot stay in this country when it comes to the illegals. Do we have that? All right, let's take a listen.
I don't understand what the confusion is. This individual is a citizen of El Salvador. He was illegally in the United States and was returned to his country. That's where you deport people, back to their country of origin, except for Venezuela that wasn't refusing to take people back or places like that. I can tell you this, Mr. President. No, the foreign policy of the United States is conducted by the President of the United States, not by a court. And no court in the United States has a right to conduct the foreign policy of the United States. It's that simple. End of story.
And that's what the Supreme Court held, by the way, to Marco's point. The Supreme Court said exactly what Marco said, that no court has the authority to compel the foreign policy function of the United States. We won a case 9-0, and people like CNN are portraying it as a loss, as usual, because they want foreign terrorists in the country who kidnap women and children. But President Trump, his policy is foreign terrorists that are here illegally get expelled from the country, which, by the way, is a 90-10 issue.
Well, Mr. President, you said that if the Supreme Court said someone needed to be returned, then you would abide by that. You said that on Air Force One just a few days ago.
How long do we have to answer this question from you? Why don't you just say, isn't it wonderful that we're keeping criminals out of our country? Why can't you just say that? Why do you go over and over, and that's why nobody watches you anymore? You know, you have no credibility. Please, go ahead.
That's Caitlin Collins. Is that eyebrow? Is that that's the one with the eyebrows? Yeah, over at CNN. Wow. She asked the same questions, and what is Trump going to do? Come on. Well done, Mr. President. By the way, there was a moment during all of this when President Trump just casually asked the president of El Salvador, by the way, do you guys down in El Salvador, do you allow men in women's sports? Do you allow men to box women? That's what the president asked the president of El Salvador. And the president of El Salvador said, no, that would be violence. So even the folks in El Salvador, they get this whole transgender garbage. So anyway, good for you. Good for you, Mr. President. Good for you, Marco Rubio, and just doing a terrific job of standing up. But I'm telling you, it's true. They want these very bad people back in America. That's what the left is all about here, folks. That's what the left is all about. Oh, by the way, did you see over the weekend, President Trump went down to Miami for the big UFC fight. And the response from the audience, it's really remarkable. Because if you're listening to the mainstream media now, everybody's turning against Trump. You've got all these thousands of paid protesters going out and attending the Bernie and AOC gatherings. And they want you to think that Trump is on the way out the door. Well, this is what the crowd sounded like down in Miami over the weekend.
And making the entrance right now to a standing ovation, the 47th president of the United States of America, flanked by UFC CEO Dana White and others, Donald J. Trump.
Is there anybody else that has a walk-in? No. Other than a fighter? He has some music. Can rock starts playing?
He had one at the NCAA tournament, too. Yeah. He always gets a walkout. It's like a prerequisite for him coming. Give him the walkout. People love it.
They do.
Well, and what he loves is mixed martial arts, right? I mean, he talks about watching these fight nights when he is not in the building. And President Trump making his way to the Octagon yet again for a massive UFC pay-per-view event.
Don't talk to him about the fights. He really loves fights.
Oh, he loves really it.
Wow, he does. He loves these fights, and it was interesting the winner actually paid respects to President Trump there in the Octagon. Even Shaq was there and went over and said hello to President Trump. They love this man. I am telling you, he is extremely popular in this country. All right, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Salem, Oregon. Tom is on the line. Hi, Tom. What's going on?
Hi there. Very good. Good to talk to you. Oregon's been dragging their feet on this real ID. They kind of announced it on the news recently that they've got to get in there and they're having a big rush. And, well, they're dragging their feet because they like to have all these people that don't have ID to vote. And or that they give out the old license, like willy-nilly, to every Tom, Dick, and Harry that can breathe. And so I think it's, yeah, that on and that, that in essence, the Trump administration might be asking for it, but I think in the end, it's okay, you got to have real ID to vote in any federal election.
Tom, let me ask you this question, though. What's going to stop the federal government from limiting the use of the real ID? And I say this as a staunch supporter of the Second Amendment. Who's to say that now you're going to have to use that real ID and the government will have every bit of information about the kinds of guns you own, the ammo you possess? I mean, who's to say that the government won't be collecting a lot of this information as a result of requiring requiring us to use the real ID to get this stuff?
Yeah, I don't know. With Google and whatnot, they know about every time I fart. I think they know exactly where we're at. With these cell phones and that. But I do wish they had pushed for being able to pass on arms to relatives and that. You used to be able to sell them and trade. And it was like an open market. It was kind of nice. So now you got to go through a background check every time you want to buy something. Oh, and I just wanted to pass on. I have a Rush Limbaugh sticker on the back of my car. It was put out by Rush, and it says, "Never Hillary."
I love that. I love it. All right, Tom, thank you for calling in today. Congressman Thomas Massey, by the way, writing this, as long as the pilot's door is locked and no one has weapons, why do you care that someone who flies has government permission? Real ID provides no benefit, yet presents a serious risk to freedom. If a person can't be trusted to fly without weapons, why are they roaming free? He says real ID is not a database. He says it's proof that your physical person matches an entry in the digital database. Its power and purpose will be realized when everyone complies, but not before. This is responsive to the, quote, "I didn't give them much information. I've had one for years. Why worry?" It's a great question. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, talking about privacy and security, you got to make sure your bank isn't turning over your private information to the government. And that's one of the reasons I'm such a big fan of Old Glory Bank, founded by our good friend Dr. Ben Carson. They support hardworking Americans, small businesses, and your constitutional rights. It's an FDIC-insured bank created to protect your privacy, security, and liberty. So go check them out right now, oldglorybank.com/Starnes. That's oldglorybank.com/Starnes. And be a part of something bigger. Trust oldglorybank.com/Starnes.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, listen up. This could be the result of asbestos exposure, and you could be entitled to significant compensation. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700. To find out if you qualify for a cash settlement, we have legal professionals standing by right now to take your call, and they'll tell you if you qualify. The call is free. The consultation is free, and you'll speak with a live agent right now. So, if you or someone you know were diagnosed with lung cancer or mesothelioma, call right now to find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call us at 800-304-4700. That's 800-304-4700 to see how much money you could potentially get. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
So I decided to venture out into downtown Memphis over the weekend. There was a big event. It was like this big food festival. And I thought, well, that sounds fun. It's downtown right in front of the Mississippi River, this beautiful place called Tom Lee Park. What does it cost? $60 million to build the park. Basically, they just put mounds of dirt and planted trees. And so anyway, I thought, you know what? I'm going to go down there. I will support my city and just see how safe downtown Memphis is. So anyway, and we had for years, there was this great event called the Food and Wine Festival. And it was really a spiffy event held at the Botanic Gardens. And they'd bring in a big time musical artist and you'd have all this food and wine. It's really very well done. So I thought that's what I was getting into when I traveled to downtown Memphis over the weekend. So anyway, I parked down by the Bass Pro Shop in the Pyramid, and it's about a half a mile or so walk up Riverside Drive to where the festival was. And I was about a quarter mile from the food festival when I got my first whiff of marijuana. And I thought to myself, oh, that's a little weird. Maybe somebody driving by and they're smoking the doobies. They smoking a little bit of the devil's lettuce. So I kept walking, and the closer I got to the food truck festival, the more you could smell the marijuana. And once I got to the food truck festival, I realized right away this was not a good situation. So first of all, yours truly, Todd Starnes, represented the singular diverse person in the crowd. I was it. I was the one lily white person in the entire crowd. And it was wall-to-wall people. And I just glanced around and realized, wow, oh, there's no security around here. And then I start kind of wandering around saying, you know, well, okay, it's broad daylight. What could possibly go wrong? So I'm out there wandering, and I thought, you know, I want to try to see if I could stand in line and get some food from one of the food truck vendors. And I realized right away this was not the Food and Wine Festival. As a matter of fact, I had my choices between chicken wings, chicken wangs, a chicken wang, singular, turkey legs, and jerk chicken. And apparently somebody was selling marijuana somewhere. So I thought to myself, you know, I'm getting out of here. So I decide, so I hightail it out of there. And I realize, again, there's absolutely no police here. So I was texting Dieter over the weekend. And I'm like, wow, this is an insane thing that's happening down here. Because that food festival, remember when the carnivals used to come to town, but your town, your community was so poor, you got like the cheap, low rent carnival? That was pretty much that food festival over the weekend. So anyway, I was texting Dieter, and Dieter made a crack. He says, you're lucky you didn't get shot down there. Sure enough, yesterday afternoon, somebody got shot and killed at the food festival in downtown Memphis. And it was like one of, what, eight or nine people that were shot across the city, including a two-year-old child who was playing ball with a family member in the front yard and gets gunned down. The police come out, And it's a huge story now. And all I could think of was, man, it's a good thing I didn't go down to that food festival on Sunday. And the police are out there and they're giving a statement and they're saying that what happened in downtown Memphis does not define who we are. I would contend, ladies and gentlemen, that that's exactly who we are. That defines everything that is Memphis right now. And the fact that we have city leaders, and it's not just here, you've got large cities all over the place that are dealing with the same sort of crime, but you have city leaders in Memphis that refuse to deal with the crime. As a matter of fact, they're telling you it's just a perception problem. And at some point you wonder, okay, are the city leaders, are the people running Memphis, are they getting kickbacks from these gangs? Are they getting money under the table from these criminal enterprises and organizations? Or are they just flat out scared? Are they terrified of the gangs? I mean, you know, the mayor is talking about how safe our city is, and yet he and his family live in a gated, guarded community. What does that tell you, ladies and gentlemen? Anyway, all that to say, I went to Bojangles on Saturday. It was delicious. Got an extra biscuit. All right, got to take a break, folks. Franklin Graham coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
Texas, that's right. I love this American ride.
Well, you have to love Donald Trump. So a federal judge told President Trump he had to let the Associated Press into the White House. And just a few moments ago, we got word that the Associated Press reporter was actually banned from entering the Oval Office for today's big meeting. So the White House looks like they are ignoring the orders to include Associated Press reporters back in the pool. And I say, good for you, Mr. President. The Associated Press is nothing more than propaganda, ladies and gentlemen. So good for you, Mr. President. Welcome to the Todd Stearns Radio Program. We've got a great hour. Our good friend Franklin Graham joins us in just a few moments. We'll be talking to him about an incredible new special that's going to be broadcast on Newsmax on Easter Sunday. Also, the president is really getting credit for the statement that the White House released for Holy Week. You know, we went through a time in this country, going all the way back to the Barack Hussein Obama days, when the Christian faith was really marginalized. And I think some people would even say that the Christian faith was considered not welcome at the White House. The very first Christmas that Barack and Big M shared in the White House, they actually wanted the nativity scene removed. They wanted to remove the nativity scene from the White House. And it was only through the intervention of the social secretary at the time that the baby Jesus was not stuffed in some sort of a closet or some sort of a storage facility. But it's really changed now that President Trump is in the Oval Office. By the way, in previous years, you had Biden and Obama, and they went out of their way not to mention the name of Jesus Christ. They were all over the Muslim holidays, but not the Christian holidays. And that just always intrigued me. Anyway, the president writing this, and I'm not going to read the entire thing, but I want to read portions of it. Because a lot of people question whether or not President Trump is really a follower of our Lord. And I will tell you that he is. I believe that President Trump is a Christian man. Does he go to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night church supper? Does he go out for church visitation? No. Is he a member of Awana? No, he's not. But I would dare say that most Christians in America don't attend church regularly. The president writing this, Melania and I join in prayer with Christians celebrating the crucifixion and resurrection of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the living Son of God who conquered death, freed us from sin, and unlocked the gates of heaven for all of humanity. That's like the gospel message right there, ladies and gentlemen. The president goes on to explain the plan of salvation. Through his suffering, we have redemption. Through his death, we are forgiven of our sins. Through his resurrection, we have hope of eternal life. On Easter morning, the stone is rolled away, the tomb is empty, and light prevails over darkness, signaling that death does not have the final word. The president goes on to say this, my administration renews its promise to defend the Christian faith in our schools, military, workplaces, hospitals, and halls of government. We will never waver in safeguarding the right to religious liberty, upholding the dignity of life, and protecting God in our public square. As we focus on Christ's redeeming sacrifice, we look to his love, humility, and obedience, even in life's most difficult and uncertain moments. This week, we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation. What a powerful sentence that is. We pray that America will remain a beacon of faith, hope, and freedom for the entire world, and we pray to achieve a future that reflects the truth, beauty, and goodness of Christ's eternal kingdom in heaven. What a beautiful thing. Now, on Easter weekend, there is going to be an incredible thing happening on Newsmax television, a special that is put together by our good friend Franklin Graham. And this is, it's really quite a remarkable story, Easter from the Ashes. It's a special program with Franklin Graham on Easter Sunday from the site of the fires in L.A. County. Let's take a listen to some of this special.
Everything is catching fire here. Shrubs, trees, houses.
Easter is not the same for many people this year. Maybe today you feel like you're going through some kind of tragedy. In the middle of this pain, can there be hope?
This Easter, a special television event. A powerful message from Franklin Graham.
Whatever your circumstances, I want you to know this. God loves you.
Plus music from Michael W. Smith and Charity Gale.
Easter's about a second chance. God is giving you right now a second chance.
It's going to be a remarkable special, and everything that they do at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, everything they do at Samaritan's Purse is always first class. Let's go to our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend Franklin Graham. Franklin, good to have you with us on the show today.
Thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
You know, this is exciting, and I know that Newsmax is going to be broadcasting the special as well. What was it about the fires in L.A. County that really triggered your heart to put together a project like this?
Well, you know, the people, as they were fleeing those fires, so many of them talked about it was like going through hell. And I thought to myself, you know, hell is a real place. Jesus preached on hell. And, you know, everybody wants to talk about heaven and going to heaven, but there are not many people going to make it to heaven. And I want people to know what you have to do to make sure that you are right with God, that your sins are forgiven, and you're ready to stand before him one day, to be judged by him. And if we confess our sins, Todd, and turn from them, and simply by faith believe on the name of Jesus Christ, who took our sins to the cross, he died and shed his blood for our sins, he was buried, on the third day God raised us unto life. There's Holy Spirit-filled power right there in that message. And if we're willing to accept it by faith, just faith, simply faith, God will forgive us. And you can have a second chance. So Easter's about a second chance. God's giving all of us a second chance.
And this special, and folks, you're going to be able to watch it on Newsmax. We'll tell you more about that tonight at 5 o'clock on my Newsmax show. Michael W. Smith, Charity Gale, some incredible musical guests. And Franklin, I have to imagine the stories are really going to make an impact on people's lives out there.
I think so, Todd. You know, there's a lot of hurt when we come to Christmas this year. Easter this year. So much hurt. Just people, you know, they lost their homes. They lost loved ones. And then here on the East Coast, we had the flood. And people, same thing. They lost their houses, homes, cars. So much destruction. And I'm just thinking, you know, this Easter, the fact that God loves us so much that he sent his son from heaven to this earth for us. And you hear these stories of how people came through the flames, how they came through the floods. And yet God saved them, just like President Trump. You know, he's so clear this Easter talking about that bullet that went through his ear, that, you know, God got his attention, and it just changed his life. That incident changed his life. And for a lot of people in those fires, that has changed their life.
You know, it was interesting reading the president's statement he released in advance of Holy Week. And Franklin, there was a line, and I've read a lot of these messages in the past, going back decades, but this one was really interesting. There was a line he said that we pray for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon our beloved nation. I don't believe I've heard a president in the modern era talk like that and use that kind of that terminology.
Well, Todd, if you look at his whole statement, I haven't heard a president in my lifetime talk like this. And so for all the people out there that try to poo-poo his religion, and I think it's real. Donald Trump is, I think it's real. I think he believes. I think he's, he has preached an Easter message in this statement that he put out, this proclamation. That's more clear than many pastors preach from the pulpit. It's incredible.
You know, it really is, and you're right. I mean, it's the gospel message there coming from the White House, and it's just truly remarkable. We have Franklin Graham with us on the Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line today. You know, Franklin, there have been some reports out lately of young people in America, Generation Z, returning to the faith, and especially young men returning to the faith, reading their Bible. And I'm wondering, as you travel around and you're meeting with people, are you seeing that? Is that happening? And if so, why do you think that is?
No, I don't know, Todd. I think it's I just think it's maybe God reaching out here in the last days. I really believe that we're coming down to the end of time as we know it, based on the scripture. Now, does that mean that the world's going to fall apart tomorrow? No. It may be years. It may be months. It could be generations or decades. I don't know. But I believe as far as time is concerned, I believe we are coming down to what the Bible speaks. It gives warnings. It gives signs. And so, yes, I see this. And I'm excited about it. See what God is doing. And these movements that you see on college campuses where you see these mass baptisms, and this is just something God is doing. God is stirring the waters, and people are responding.
It's really an amazing thing to see. And, I go back and I was reading about Ronald Reagan after he went through the assassination attempt and he survived. And he really felt like that God had spared his life for a reason, and it really changed his thinking. And, Franklin, you've had a chance to have conversations with the president. Have you seen that in President Trump as well, that there's just there's something different about him post these assassination attempts?
Well, no question there's something different, and I've noticed it right away. And first of all, here's what he does. He gives God the credit for saving his life. And he will tell you, it was God that saved me. And so he gives God the credit. He gives him the glory. And God will honor that, I believe. And my prayer is that God will just protect him and will continue to protect him, because there's a lot of people out there that would like to see bad things happen. So just pray that God will continue to protect him and lead this nation. He's got so much on his plate. When you look at our economy, the fighting in Gaza, the war in Europe and the Ukraine and Russia, so many things he's trying to fix. And with God's help, I just pray that he'll have success.
I'm with you, Franklin. And again, you pointed this out on your X feed. What a contrast from last year at this time when President Biden declared Easter Sunday the Transgender Day of Visibility.
Yeah, it just shows you the difference between that administration and where we are today. Light and day. And again, I thank God for Donald Trump and that he's our president.
Now, Franklin, before we let you go, there may have been some people that heard your message and the appeal to become a Christ follower. Do you guys, where do you recommend people go to get more information, maybe talk to somebody about next steps if they've become a new Christian?
Well, I would encourage people to go to our website at billygraham.org. That's what we've got a lot of information there. And, of course, we have a number. I think it's a 1-800-PRAY that they're giving it to me right now. It's 855-255-PRAY, P-R-A-Y, 855-255-PRAY. And we've got people on the lines 24 hours a day. You can call that night or day, and you can talk to someone. And that's 855-255-PRAY, PRAY.
And we'll share that again throughout today's show. Franklin, we've got to leave it there. Thank you so much for the great ministry and the work that you and the entire Graham family are doing. And we're excited to be able to watch this incredible special on Easter Sunday.
Well, thank you, Todd. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Franklin Graham, ladies and gentlemen, on the page on our Old Glory Bank Newsmaker line today. And that special will be airing on all sorts of network and cable stations over Easter Sunday. And I would encourage you to watch it on Newsmax. And also, Franklin was kind enough to write an incredible endorsement for my new book project called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. And I want to encourage you to go out and get yourself a copy of that. You can pre-order a copy. We're encouraging all of you to do that. We want to make sure that we don't run out of books on day one like we did in the last book. So pre-order a copy online at your favorite bookstore. They'll actually physically be in bookstores on June 17th, but you can pre-order a copy right now to make sure that you have one arriving at your home on June 17th. Again, Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots, available at Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, Amazon, and your local favorite Christian bookstore as well. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stearns Show. All right, coming up in the next hour, we're going to be talking to a Colorado State Senator running for governor, and he is just enraged over what Democrats are doing, taking away parental rights in the name of transgenderism. So as it now stands, parents could lose custody of their kids if they misgender their transgender child. Also coming up a little bit later on, Congressman Addison McDowell from North Carolina, weighing in on the budget framework as well as these hands-off protests. Oh, geez, Alou, I got to tell you, when we come back, I have to tell you, I ran into one of these protests in Memphis, and you know, I had to have a conversation with some of the protesters. I triggered a bunch of people. I mean, a bunch of people over the weekend in Memphis. All right, our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Hey, head over to ToddStearns.com. There is a lot of great information, great stories for you to read. You can also download my free podcast, and also my free newsletter comes out every morning, 7 o'clock Eastern. You're going to love it. We'll be right back, everybody. So I have a question for you, ladies and gentlemen. Do you go to Starbucks? Do you go to a coffee house on a regular basis? You know, a lot of people around the country, Starbucks is like a daily thing. It's like you got to go to Starbucks. You go through the drive-through, or you get out of your vehicle and you wait in the line. And a lot of Gen Z coffee lovers are finding out that that is costing them an arm and a leg. And Dieter, I know that you're a big Starbucks guy. So do you go there pretty much on a daily basis, or did you go there on a daily basis?
Every single morning.
So how much would a cup? So what would be your order?
It's your fault because you've employed. Wait, no, that sounds bad. Thank you for my job, but my job is to wake up at the butt crack of dawn.
Yes,
and to awake myself, I have to drink a venti, which is the large glass of coffee, which costs your typical consumer about $7 plus tax, plus you've got a tip because I'm a Republican. And so we're talking $8-$9 every morning.
So I did the math. If you're doing that Monday through Friday, weekends, I'm not even including. Monday through Friday.
I have to have it on weekends.
All right. So you're looking at over $2,600 a year just on that's your coffee bill.
Wait. How many zeros are there? Where'd you put the comma?
$2,600.
$2,600. $2,000?
No. $2,600.
Oh my gosh. That's half my car payment.
It's insanity. So again, if you, I'm.
What are you trying to say?
So
you pay me pretty well.
No, I'm just saying that there's a story out in the New York Post about all these Gen Zers, and they're upset because they can't afford coffee. So now Gen Z coffee lovers have discovered a new way to combat insane coffee prices. And I want you to brace yourself, America. Gen Zers have just discovered that you can actually make coffee at home for a whole lot cheaper. I know this is shocking to many people. Are you ready for this? So Folgers, which is good to the last drop. Folgers actually makes a pretty decent cup of coffee. A bag of Folgers, all right? A bag of
Wait, Folgers. What is Folgers?
Folgers, it's a coffee brand.
Yeah. Okay.
So let's say it's $12.99 for a big old tub of Folgers coffee, all right? And you've got the coffee. It's already ground up. You don't have to get one of those things and grind your own beans. And you can actually make 40 cups. So one of those $12.99 tubs of Folgers will make 40 cups of coffee for you.
But to push back on that, does it spark joy? Does it give you happiness to have to do that? There's nothing like, and every one of your listeners, guy, girl, Gen Z, boomer, millennial, Gen Xers, you know your favorite coffee joint, and there's nothing better than pulling up there, ordering your favorite coffee. Maybe your barista already knows you by name at this point, and they say, would you like your usual? And you say, yes. Do you pay a little bit more? Of course you do. But there's nothing like pulling up through a drive-thru in the morning and getting someone to hand you your coffee. And it gives you joy. It gives you happiness. And so you're paying. Now, there's this wise old saying that my mom used to tell me, Ben, money can't buy happiness. I would disagree. Money can buy you Starbucks, which will give you happiness. So you can buy your happiness. And to me, making a cup of coffee with Folgers just does not spark the same joy.
So Gen Z TikTokers are ditching the expensive morning coffee run and instead transforming their kitchens into cozy custom coffee shops, complete with menus, pastries, and even barista uniforms in an attempt to save money. One TikToker filmed her hands filling a to-go cup with a custom iced coffee. She said, reminder you to make your coffee at home tomorrow morning and save those $7. I mean, I'm glad that your generation, your people are waking up and they're realizing, wait a second, I'm spending way too much money for a cup of coffee that tastes burned.
Now, that's purely subjective because I find myself to be quite fond of that burned coffee.
Do you drink it hot or cold? Or
it is crazy that this is a revelation. Like, I don't make my own coffee in the morning, but I'm not dumb enough to have this grand revelation that I could be saving money. Like, of course I know I could be saving money. I don't want to do it.
The great Paul Shanklin, the parody guru of the Todd Stearns radio program, border to border, coast to coast, across the fruited plain, just sent me a text. He says, Todd, I did not become independently middle class by spending $9 a day on a coffee. Oh, you're getting some hate text, too. Oh, this is great. Hold on. I've got to read this to you. Sheesh. Sheesh. I haven't heard that word in a long time. Dieter needs to grow up. Smiley crying emoji face. Is that laughter?
I don't want to know.
This coffee from Costco cost $14 or less and lasts me a month. So you could go from spending thousands of dollars. Oh, it's Don Pablo. That's... sounds very intriguing.
I don't know.
South of the border coffee.
I don't know. Maybe this is generational because there is something about young people and their affection affinity for these drive-thrus, getting their Starbucks hookup every single morning. Is it a bad habit? Probably. Is it killing me financially? And will I probably never be middle class? But I've got good coffee.
Oh, this was written for you. Gen Z often gets a bad rap for being careless with their money, considering they have a ton of personal debt and many are being handed money from their parents. Well, actually, that's not you because you're pretty self-sufficient.
Yeah.
However, based on this trend, they are also quite creative when it comes to finding unique ways to save money. There you have it, boomers. Gen Z making at-home coffee officially cool again. Really? I've always felt like making coffee at home. It just brings me great pleasure. As a matter of fact, to your question, you said, can you find that joy?
Can you?
Joy,
yes. Down in my Folgers.
Yes, Folgers. They even wrote a song about it.
Maxwell House's coffee you can count on.
Maxwell House, good to the last drop.
Maxwell House is
a good starter.
Maxwell House is
good every cup.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Maxwell House, America. Instant coffee you can count on. A great aroma. And each and every cup, always good to the last drop.
Maxwell House is
good and hot.
Good to the last drop. Maxwell House.
Did you, that
you're
song
smiling
is
from
oozing,
ear to ear.
That
you're
song
like
is oozing with
tears.
Joy.
You're almost
it is
in tears.
Oozing with joy. And look, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with going to Starbucks.
Can I be completely honest?
No.
I don't even know how to make a cup of coffee. That's the problem.
Well,
someone dropped the ball.
The lovely Miss Cassie, when she's not answering phones, is actually, we have a coffee pot downstairs, and we're brewing the wire-to-fish coffee, and she does that every single day.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
It's an easy thing to learn. So it's not like learning to change the oil in your car. You're making a pot of coffee.
Yeah, I see it this way. I'm helping these baristas out. You know, the baristas that are always protesting over something. I'm giving them a job. Because if everybody just made coffee at home, who's going to be a barista? I've got to supply them with my demand, with jobs.
For example, I don't buy the bottled water. I've got a perfectly great water fountain downstairs.
You can't drink that. There's fluoride in that.
Oh, it's delicious. I've never had a cavity in my life.
Yeah, but you're going to die of Alzheimer's or something with that fluoride.
If I do, I won't remember it. Okay, let's go to Wayne in Dyersburg, Tennessee. Wants to weigh in on the all right, Wayne, are you a brew at home or do you go out to Starbucks every day?
No, I brew at home.
Is that
right? I make my coffee at night. I hit the button. I get up the next morning. It starts cooking at 5:30 the next morning.
And
when I get up at 5:30 or 6, it's ready. I just walk in there, get my coffee, and enjoy it.
Wayne, you have just confused my entire Gen Z staff right here. They had no idea that you could actually brew your coffee the night before. You could set it all up And so when you wake up to that beautiful smell of fresh coffee brewing.
Yes, sir. You sit, make your coffee, hit that automatic button, set it whatever time you want. Mine set at 5:30.
Well,
it goes off. I get up when I come in there. I got me a fresh cup of coffee, and it smells good and tastes good.
Yes, it does.
That's the whole day go.
And I bet you have a few extra dollars in the bank, too, don't you, Wayne?
Well, a couple.
There you go. You know why, Wayne? Because you're not spending $10 a day at Starbucks.
No, sir. I'd never buy a Starbucks. That's just me.
And what do they call them?
I've never had a bad day. Some are just better than others.
Wayne, I like you. All right, Wayne, thanks for the call. What is the what do you call them, the sizes? It's like you have the grande and the venti and the mocha latte. What sizes are they?
There's a grande and a venti and a small. No, a tall. A tall is the smallest size you can get. Make that make sense. And then you can get a double venti, which I have known to get. It just depends.
Well, guess what? When I walk in, I've got myself a big old cup of coffee, and I say, fill her up, and I fill it up myself. And I love it. I'm actually going back. I'm actually done with the Keurigs as well now. I'm ready to go old school. I'm going old school.
What's the pour-over coffee where you, like, you guys know where people, like, really go, they're basically hoeing the coffee beans out of the ground. Now, it's just too much work. I don't know how people, like, to our great caller that just called in, that's just a lot of prep work. I don't have time for that in the morning. I am out the door, and I am running, grabbing the clothes, basically throwing the clothes on my back and throwing my shoes on, and then getting out the door, and you barely have time to sneak in a Starbucks, and then it's go.
I am confused why the Gen Zers are dressing up in barista uniforms in their home. That sounds a little weird to me, but who am I to judge? So anyway, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. So good for all you Gen Zers out there now waking up and realizing, holy cow, I don't have to spend nearly $3,000 a year on coffee. Yeah, you got to love it. Oh, somebody said making coffee is much easier than boiling eggs. Dieter, I'm just reading these. All right, we've got to take a quick break here, folks. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. I have a question for you. There's a massive church in the Atlanta area called North Point Community Church. The pastor is a guy by the name of Andy Stanley. And this is, I mean, they have thousands of people that go to this church, but I think he also, they call him franchises. He franchises his church, kind of like KFC's. And so they have like other Andy Stanley churches all around the country, but predominantly there in the Atlanta area. So anyway, this is coming from a Christian website called Protestia. Andy Stanley's megachurch is facing pushback for a training video that supports children with gender dysphoria transitioning to a different sex. Holy crap. The video shows a middle school ministries director discussing a family who began attending North Point after a previous church refused to use their child's preferred pronouns. The child reportedly began identifying as transgender at 5 years old. Is anybody believing this? Come on. 5 years old. The minister said everywhere this child went in life, they were saying that you are one thing, but only at church they had to pretend to be something else. They had to leave that church, and they finally came here, started talking to our care ministry staff, and we realized, oh my goodness, we cannot be the last place a student feels comfortable. The minister said the family handled the child's gender dysphoria so well. After visiting a child psychologist and medical specialist, the family began using a different name and pronouns at home and later asked close family members to do the same. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, if, first of all, are you surprised that Andy Stanley's church is going down this path? There seems to be a lot of outrage in the Christian community about this. And the church does have a history of being a little loosey-goosey with some of the alphabet activist stuff. I'm just saying. Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene is among those outraged by this. She said that the church, North Point Community Church, is confirming Satan's lie to these vulnerable children. Very interesting. It's not the first time that North Point has received attention for its views on sexuality. In 2023, the church hosted the Unconditional Conference, which featured several gay-affirming speakers advising parents and ministry leaders on how to minister to students identifying as LGBTQ+. Among those critical of the church, Dr. Al Mohler, president of the Southern Baptist Theological Seminary. Andy Stanley addressed the controversy at the time, saying biblical marriage is between a man and a woman. But there's always a but. But he also said that for many gay people, a chaste life is not sustainable, so they choose same-sex marriage, not because they're convinced it's biblical. They choose to marry for the same reason many of us do, love and companionship. One critic noted that while it's amazing the church addresses sexuality and gender identity and they don't brush it aside, the way they go about it is questionable. In the training video, they do not use scripture once. The critic says church leaders need truth, not vague affirmations. So all that to say, for those of you who only go to church on Christmas and Easter, if you go to this North Point Community Church in Atlanta, don't be surprised if things get a little squirrely there. That is bizarre. And what's really interesting is this guy, Andy Stanley, is very influential among young pastors across America. So it does make you wonder where the modern church is in America if this kind of teaching has been going on. And quite frankly, a lot of you may not even be aware of it. Well, look, coming up, we're going to be talking to, we're going to be playing some audio, rather, from Megyn Kelly. And Megyn Kelly is in the news. She just had to pull her kids out of a private school in New York because of the radical anti-boy, of radical anti-boy issues. It's unbelievable. Also, we're going to take you to Saturday Night Live, which featured a skit mocking Jesus Christ, Donald Trump, and Easter. Not necessarily in that order. It's bizarre. A lot of crazy stuff happening on SNL over the weekend. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. And if you are a pastor, I'm curious to hear from you about Andy Stanley. Does it concern you that the church has gone full-blown woke? 901-260-5926, our number. Our website address is toddstarns.com. You'll want to go check that out, folks. A lot of great stories, a lot of great content for you. All right, hang tight, everybody. Hour three of The Big Show coming up next.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Hour three of The Big Show underway. Don't forget tonight, 5 o'clock Eastern, you can watch the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax. We have a big, big lineup for you tonight, so you're going to want to stick around 5 o'clock Eastern on Newsmax. Well, we've been telling you that Colorado is ground zero now for these attacks on moms and dads trying to raise their children. Our next guest is a state senator and he is running for governor in 2026. He is on our Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Let's say hello to State Senator Mark Baisley. Welcome to you, sir. Great to have you with us.
Well, Todd, what a high honor it is to be on your show for the very first time.
So we're going to get to the gubernatorial race in just a moment, but I want to get your reaction to this legislation that could really impact moms and dads when it comes to dealing with a child suffering from gender dysphoria.
So this is what you get when you have no balance when we had the Republican Party had control over the House and the Senate and the governor's office. We put in things like the Taxpayer's Bill of Rights, but when the Democrats have control of everything, they put in measures like this, House Bill 1312, that will remove the child from custody from their parents if they misgender or dead name. That's a new term for me. If they call them by the name that they were given at birth and that child has decided, no, they've moved on to another name, then you can lose custody of your child. And by the way, this does not even have to be during a custody battle. It's wide open. It just says the courts can determine custody if you do not call your child by the gender and name that they choose.
I mean, this really is it's just shocking. But to know that the Democrats are on board with this and it looks as though this thing could very well become law, is that right?
Golly, I'm hoping not, but I hope against other bills that are egregious and unconstitutional, and the governor ends up signing most of them into law. So it could very well become law. I hope that he shows some wisdom on this one and allows parents to exercise their position as parents and not have that displaced by the state, which has become their church.
I want to play some audio for you, and it's just it's a bit much, but the church community, the Christian community across the state is beginning to rise up a little bit. This is Matt Patrick. He's the pastor of Well Church in Boulder, Colorado. Guys, let's play cut number four, please.
Why do I bring this up in the middle of my sermon? Am I just getting political for the heck of it? No, because, friends, it'd be a heck of a lot easier to not touch this. You understand that, right? You understand that, right? Like, it would be a lot easier to not get up here and talk about political things. But we are the church, and we must stand for truth. And when the truth of God is being defied, we must call it out. And my job here as a pastor is to tell you what is true, right, and good from the Word of God. We must be anchored, and our anchors must be set. They must be in the ground, and we must not be led astray. We must not be swept away by the currents of culture and society. We must be strong in the Lord here today. It is my job. And first and foremost, my job is before our Lord, not you, and not anybody online, and not any other church. It is before God. Ezekiel 33:6 says, but if the watchman sees the sword coming and does not blow the trumpet so that the people are not warned, and the sword comes and takes any one of them, that person is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at the watchman's hand. If I do not speak to the church that I pastor on this, then I must ask myself the question, what do I fear? This is exactly what Samuel was doing when he gave his farewell address to the people. And like he has done other times for Israel, he is letting the people know of the wickedness that exists and that they should not fall prey to it. He is calling Israel to fear the Lord. And today I am calling us to fear God, to fear God, to call wickedness wicked, to pray that people would be saved. Yes, pray for your enemies. Pray for them. Pray that they would be saved. Pray that they would know the redeeming power of Jesus Christ. Pray that those things happen. But if they do not submit themselves to Jesus Christ, we must pray that they are defeated. If we will not protect the unborn, if we will not protect children, then what are we doing?
You know, it's a great question, I guess, Senator, and I'm wondering your reaction to the Christians there in Colorado starting to wake up.
Yeah. So my first reaction is I will be attending that man's church probably Easter Sunday. You know, I attend a lot of churches across the state, across my district in particular. I've attended at least 35 and multiple times. But I've got to get to that pastor's church, someone who's standing up boldly like that. But yes, it has awakened the sleeping giant. We've had quite a few protests here at the Colorado State Capitol in response to this. And I was asked to speak at a local school board meeting this past Thursday, which I did, because the parents are just in a panic, saying, look at how aggressive that the state is being. And even within the legislative body here, there are Christians on the other side of the aisle that have made me scratch my head. I remember, I've been in the legislature now, I'm in my seventh year. I remember just the first year and going, how does that happen? How do they rectify, how do they justify some of these votes that they're taking? And my conclusion, I'm not sure if I'm right or not, Todd, but my conclusion is that Jesus is their Savior, but not their Lord. And we say that Lord and Savior pretty quickly, but they both have distinct and important meanings. And we need to not just accept the salvation, we need to accept the responsibility that he gives us as Lord over our lives as well, and to go execute and to do so boldly. So that was a magnificent audio that you just played. I appreciate that.
Well, it's, you know, and it's encouraging for me as well to know, because it's hard for a lot of these ministers to stand up to this mob. I mean, this, the Rainbow Mob, we call them the Alphabet Activist. They are a radical and well-funded bunch, and they will try to destroy you. And Senator, I'm wondering, are you prepared for the onslaught that's going to come from these folks as you enter the gubernatorial race?
Well, I hope so. You know, I'll stand behind the spiritual shield and all the armor, but I anticipate that it's coming and it's going to come hard. But that's okay. You know, it's still an important role, and I'm asked frequently, as I'm sure you would imagine, hey, do you enjoy being a state legislator or a state senator? And I always have to answer no. It's like being a soldier. It's a call to duty, but you don't enjoy it. But the battle is afoot, and we've got to engage. So I'm up for this. So I'm going.
Well, I think this is wonderful. Now, Senator, where can people go if they want to get information on your campaign, how they can be a part of it?
Quite easy. My name, markbaisley.com, markbaisley.com. I officially launched my governor campaign today, although it's not been a secret for over a month now that we've been talking about it out in the open for quite a bit. But today is the official launch, so it's good timing to talk to you.
What's the secret sauce here? You know, in a lot of these races, candidates shy away from the White House, President Trump. It just seems to me that if you embrace President Trump, only good things can happen.
True. Yeah. Well, I just adore our new president, our second new president. I love what he's doing, and he seems to be divinely guided, because he'll do things that sounds like he's making it up on the spot, and I suspect a lot of times he is. But boy, it's turning out quite well, like Midas touched on so much. But the secret sauce, to me, it's this. Our nation was founded on the laws of nature and of nature's God, which I'm sure you're very familiar in that opening paragraph of the Declaration of Independence that founded this nation. And so that natural law is what I believe we should be always pursuing. And we will always be on the right side of history, the right side of policy, even if what we're pursuing is God's intent for how we manage our lives and how we govern ourselves. So I want to just pursue natural law and the descriptions that are in the Declaration that are codified in the Constitution. Even the most of the state constitution here in Colorado is also done quite well. It's a little lengthy, and it's got some mess in it from the past 10 years or so. But if we just simply pursue, just like in our personal lives, if we pursue as a community, as a state, as a nation, the God of our fathers, then we'll come out well.
All right. Well said. Well, Senator, we're going to leave it there. We wish you nothing but the best out on the campaign trail. Good luck to you.
Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. State Senator Mark Basley, ladies and gentlemen, from the great state of Colorado, where they are facing a culture war. Never seen anything like this. And I'm so excited to hear from this pastor of a fairly contemporary church, Well Church in Boulder, Colorado. And the pastor got up from the pulpit, and he spent a good chunk of his sermon on Sunday railing against the wickedness coming out of the state capitol. And he said there comes a time when Christians have to stand up and we have to push back, and that time is now. You know, it's interesting. Megyn Kelly was saying something very similar. She was revealing to her audience that she had to pull her sons out of an expensive all-boys private school in New York. Take a listen.
We pulled our children, our two boys and our daughter, she was at a different school. We pulled our children from their New York City private schools because of this radicalism. When our eldest was in third grade at literally one of the best and most respected private schools in the country, and an all-boys school where they're supposed to have some knowledge and expertise in educating boys, in the third grade, without telling the parents, they unleashed a several week long educational program on these boys on trans issues, featuring men running around in tutus, suggesting if you like the color purple, you might potentially secretly be a girl, and then made the little boys, all these boys in third grade, raise their hands and say on a scale of 1 through 5, how certain they were that they were boys. And I can't remember whether it was the 5 or the fist that just suggested, I'm just confused about what you're saying here. Like, I don't understand what you're asking me. And all these little kids chose that option because they didn't even have any understanding of what was being introduced to them. And this was a school, Jordan, where all the parents who go there most are really wanting little junior to get into Harvard or Yale or Stanford. And so these parents typically do not push back because the name of the game is to be well-liked by the administration and the people who have junior's future in their hands. And even this group after that was outraged and revolted and stood up to say, what are you doing? They were actually teaching the children that there could be 100 genders, but at least 3 or 4. I mean, I heard that with my own ears from a teacher.
So there you have it, just a smidge of what Megyn Kelly was talking about and sharing her own personal issues. And again, this is not at some sort of a public school. This is at an all-boys private school. Very expensive. And so you wonder, where do parents go? And I am wondering, for our listeners, have you guys made the decision to pull your kids out of public schools or a private school? Are you homeschooling your kids now? You know, even a lot of the Christian schools, you've got to pay very close attention to. I will say this. We're very fortunate in the Memphis area. We've got some great conservative Christian schools out there. And there's one in particular called Briarcrest, and we are very honored to carry their football games on KWAM, our flagship station. And there is a sign that caused some controversy. They have a beautiful sign outside their campus, and it said scriptural, not cultural. And one of the newspaper columnists, a guy by the name of Otis Sanford, and this guy is a far leftist. And what's troubling is this guy teaches journalism at the University of Memphis. So he's poisoning the minds of these future journalists who are going to be reporting on news in Memphis. And he posted a snarky little comment on social media asking what that sign was all about. And then he goes and professes to be a Christian man. Well, any Christian would know that the school is trying to tell you in no uncertain terms that they follow the teachings of the Holy Scripture and not the whims of the culture. That's what that means. But once again, if you're catching flack, you're over the target. I mean, it really is that simple. But again, Liberty University, look at the great work that Liberty University is doing, and we're proud to be broadcasting our partnership with the Liberty University. So you got to do your research, and you've got to make sure that you're out there and you're on top of everything that your child is learning in that classroom. All right, we've got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Been down to Panama City Beach, Florida on spring break by any chance? Any of you good people? Panama City and Panama City Beach, beautiful area. The Redneck Riviera, great people down there. The beaches are just the prettiest. It's almost like you're sitting down on sugar. Just miles and miles of beautiful white sugar and the beautiful blue Gulf of America. I'm telling you, I love California. Don't get me wrong. I love California. Great scenery out there. Beautiful mountains. But your beaches suck. I'm sorry, they do. It's true. Hawaii, the same thing. There are no beaches that can compare to the Gulf of America beaches. So anyway, Panama City Beach, popular hangout for the spring break crowd. And it was so chaotic down there that the police chief came out yesterday with a statement. And we have this on the website. But we're talking about shootings, mayhem, fights, arrest, mobs of people. It's been horrible, horrible. And the citizens have finally said enough is enough. The police chief posted a message and said, hey, look, to all you future doctors and nurses, engineers and teachers who came here for a break, you are appreciated. You made memories. You enjoyed the beach and you showed respect. Most of you went home without problems. And that's exactly how it should be. But they were also inundated with gangs of thugs. The chief goes on to say, if you came with guns, bad intentions, and no respect for the city, we saw you. You thought you could blend in and get away with it, but you were wrong. Our officers were ready, and many of you ended up in handcuffs. And so now the police chief is calling on city leaders to end spring break. He said, Panama City Beach can no longer be a spring break town. That time is over, and I'm not willing to risk the safety of our city to hold on to something that no longer works. To the good citizens, you'll always be welcome. To the idiots, go somewhere else. That's what the police chief said. Good for you, Mr. Police Chief. All right, got to take a break. 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Stern Show. Good to have you back with us. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. By the way, terrible situation over in Pennsylvania. The governor's mansion set on fire. The governor, John Shapiro, and his family, his wife and four kids were there with their family pets. Everybody was able to escape. The attacker, believed to be a socialist, was like an anarchist. The more I'm reading about this guy, Cody Ballmer is his name, 38 years old, admitted to making Molotov cocktails and caused significant damage to a large section of the governor's mansion. The guy was not a Trump fan. He was a whack job. That's what people are saying about this guy. So anyway, the concern here is why this guy did it. We don't have that information just yet. He's been charged with domestic terrorism, aggravated arson, aggravated assault, and criminal homicide and other counts. That's according to the law enforcement there in Pennsylvania. But glad that the governor and his family are okay. All right, let's go to the Old Glory Bank newsmaker line. Say hello to Congressman Addison McDowell, a Republican from North Carolina. Congressman, hope you're doing well today.
I'm great, Todd. Good to talk to you.
You know, isn't it interesting, though, that you had a lot of folks in the media coming out almost immediately and trying to place the blame on the White House for this nut job who set fire to the governor's mansion here?
Well, I mean, Todd, it's ridiculous. And if you think about President Trump, I mean, he could cure some disease or you know, cause world peace, and the Democrats and the woke liberals in Washington are still going to hate him. So when bad things happen, of course, they're going to blame him, even when it's not his fault. That's just what we see.
In the meantime, you have all of these massive protests around the country, these hands-off protests, and there have been attacks on Tesla and Elon Musk. It's just unbelievable. And I genuinely don't think these people actually understand what they're protesting against.
No, I couldn't agree more. I mean, I think the main point here is that President Trump is draining the swamp. And these people, they want to fill it. And I'll do everything I can to help the president drain the swamp. But we're seeing these leftist Soros-backed mobs that are breaking down over President Trump and Elon Musk. And Washington, D.C. has gotten too big, and it's not fair to taxpayers. And so people have talked for years about draining the swamp, but President Trump's actually doing it.
Do we have any indication of who might be behind or funding these huge rallies that have been taking place? You've got Bernie Sanders and AOC out there on their Fight the Oligarchy tour.
Yeah, well, you know, I think Senator Sanders, we've seen since 1993, he's been saying that our government's becoming an oligarchy, and so it's the same old talking point he's always used. But look, you know, these are Soros-backed leftist mobs that we're seeing. You know, it's not just they didn't just come out of thin air, but they're mad that President Trump has taken a sledgehammer to the federal bureaucracy, and you know, it's very telling how mad these folks are. I mean, it just tells us we're right over the target.
Oh, no doubt about that. And look, we've got a long ways to go between now and the midterms, but the fact that they're organizing, and I think it's a good reminder that, hey, look, we still have a fight to fight here. It's not over and done with now that we reelected Donald Trump.
Oh, absolutely. We have to give President Trump 4 years with a trifecta, not just two. And so we've got to be committed, and we cannot let our foot off the gas, because this is serious stuff. That if we let the Democrats, you know, overperform in the midterms, we're going to spend 2 years watching impeachment trials for no reason, just for show, for the Democrats. And so we have to keep our foot on the gas, and we cannot let up, because it's too important.
Congressman, I'm curious. There's been a lot of concern in the Senate. You've got seven senators that are siding with the Democrats there to try and stop President Trump from doing anything with the tariffs. So they want to stop his authority. And I'm curious to get your thoughts on that.
We're seeing the art of the deal from the best deal maker that's ever lived. And so you're certainly not going to see me trying to stop the president from enacting the things that he just promised the American people for an entire election cycle that he was going to do. I mean, that's a real novelty in Washington when you have people that do what they say they're going to do, but that's exactly what the president's doing. And so, these tariffs are working, and we've been taken advantage of for far too long. And the president is the first person in a long time that is putting the American worker first. My district in North Carolina was hammered by NAFTA. And so we felt the effects here. And it's great to have somebody championing those folks, again, and not the elite limousine liberals.
And are you surprised that Tom Tillis, your senator, is on the list of the seven GOP senators?
I can't speak for Senator Tillis, but, Todd, you know, I think all I can say is that we've seen what NAFTA did. And so, you know, I'm 100% behind the president and committed to giving him the freedom to take on these countries that have, ripped us off for many, many years.
Do you anticipate some of the manufacturing, the textile companies coming back to North Carolina as a result of what the president's doing here?
I mean, absolutely. We're already seeing that. We're seeing investments made, and they may not be the same manufacturing, but, we're going to see industry start pouring back into our country. And that's going to be a great thing, because you've got, all of these people that want good paying jobs. And the president is saying we're going to get fair trade deals for our country, and we're going to go provide those jobs. So I think that's a great thing.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Congressman, we're going to let you get back at it. We certainly wish you and your family a wonderful Holy Week and happy Easter.
Well, thank you. My daughter's second birthday is tomorrow, so happy birthday, Mary Margaret.
Well, happy birthday. Wow. Y'all are going to have a very busy week, Congressman.
That's right. That's right.
All right. Well, Congressman, again, we appreciate you coming on the program. Congressman Addison McDowell, everybody, Republican from the great state of North Carolina. 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Our good buddy Todd from TalkWinchester.com, our great affiliate there in Winchester, Virginia, saying, hey, Starnes, there is reporting that they've spoken with the arsonist mother, and she said he was off his meds, and he's currently hospitalized with an unrelated medical incident. So we'll keep you updated on all of that. But again, this guy is no MAGA supporter, and I want you to hear that from me. This guy is a nut job. All right, got to take a break. We'll be right back. Well, I stumbled over this very interesting social media feed. It was on Instagram, and there was a fellow who did a really remarkable job laying out the trade war and why it is so vitally important for the U.S. to win the trade war against China. And this is all part of a growing, and the guy you're going to be hearing, he is an African-American businessman, a black businessman here in this country. And part of his mission is to convince people to get off of the Democrat plantation. Take a listen.
Okay, so the U.S. and China have officially entered a trade war, and a lot of people are failing to understand why this happened and which country stands to gain or lose more. So let's talk about it. Before I even get into the details, let me just say that this topic has exposed so many people for being hypocrites that it's not even funny. Hear me out. If you're someone who is complaining about the cost of products getting more expensive, but you stay silent when inflation hit record highs under Biden and Kamala, you are a hypocrite. If you're someone who claims to support American workers and businesses, but you're rooting for China, you are a hypocrite. If you're someone who complains about the wealth gap and the rich steady getting richer, but you're rooting against America in this battle, you are a hypocrite. Most younger people probably don't remember this, but the U.S. had a booming manufacturing industry for decades. We had millions of jobs that supported lower and middle class families, and we had cities across the country who were thriving mainly because of this industry. That all changed in the early 2000s when China entered the World Trade Organization and was granted most favorable nation status. This completely decimated the U.S. manufacturing industry. Between 2000 and 2015, the U.S. lost roughly 5 million manufacturing jobs. And that doesn't even include all of the jobs that supported the industry. About half of those jobs went to China. And to this day, this is referred to as the China shock. And listen, when I say decimated, I'm not exaggerating. Cities like Detroit went from having a population of almost 2 million to less than 700,000. Cities in Ohio saw their median income drop roughly 30% in just a matter of years. Poverty rates in the South shot above 20%. Drug overdoses all across the country went through the roof. And not only that, the wealth gap grew by insane numbers. The 1% doubled their income and went from owning about 20% of all the wealth in the country to owning above 30% of the wealth, while the bottom 50% of citizens own 2%. And if you're one of those people who are saying, well, tariffs are going to make everything more expensive, I don't want to pay more for an iPhone. First off, smartphones are not included. Second, where were you when the cost of everything shot up to record highs under Joe Biden and Kamala Harris? The price to simply heat your home shot up roughly 40%. The cost of fruit and vegetables shot up roughly 10%. And the cost of cars and car parts shot up almost 15%. And we didn't hear any of this same outrage from the same people who are making a big deal about Trump's tariffs, which aren't estimated to raise any of those prices near what they were in this last administration. China stands to lose far more from this than we do as a country, and it's not even close. There's nowhere else on earth that China can turn to replace the $450 billion worth of annual revenue that they get from exports to the U.S. The consumer demand is just simply not there anywhere else in the world. The U.S. has the benefit of being able to pivot. We can bring those manufacturing jobs back onshore, and we can work with other countries who have more favorable trade policies than China to help source some of those products that we don't produce naturally.
And look, it's so he's so clear about what this war is really all about. This guy's name is Quentin Jordan. Quentin Jordan, he is the chairman of the Black Conservative Federation and is a big-time Trump supporter. He's a businessman, and I love how he is just using social media to get down and to say, okay, look, here's what's really going on here. And again, he's right to point out the hypocrisy coming from the left, because Democrats for years have been calling for tariffs against China, and nobody said anything in the media, not a single person. So we're going to try to get this guy on the show. I like the way he thinks, and I like his political take on things. Again, Quentin Jordan with the Black Conservative Federation. All right, this story coming out of the New York Times, and this is breaking news. So Harvard has been under the gun. They are the nation's wealthiest university, and they're getting hundreds of millions of our tax dollars. Hundreds of millions. Wealthiest university in the world. Well, Harvard said Monday, just moments ago, it has rejected policy changes requested by the Trump administration. Vimal Patel is the author of this piece. The Trump administration now setting up a showdown with Harvard. A letter to Harvard from the Trump administration on Friday demanded the university reduce the power of students and faculty members over the university's affairs, report foreign students who commit conduct violations immediately to federal authorities, and bring in an outside party to ensure each academic department is viewpoint diverse, among other steps. Now, some of you may be saying, okay, well, who does Donald Trump think he is, telling Harvard University how they should do things? Well, let me back up for just a moment. If Harvard University doesn't want President Trump up in their business, then they can easily turn down all of the federal funding. Because in my estimation, when you take a single penny from the federal government, guess what? We get a say in what's going on at your university campus. That's the way it ought to be. Harvard's president, Alan Garber, saying this in a statement, no government, regardless of which party is in power, should dictate what private universities can teach, whom they can admit and hire, and which areas of study and inquiry they can pursue. Well, again, sir, you're using hundreds of millions of dollars of our tax money. So, yeah, we do get a say. And for that matter, why are you people still harboring anti-Semites? What's up with that? The Trump administration said in March that it was examining about $256 million in federal contracts from Harvard. And are you ready for this? An additional $8.7 billion in what is described as a multi-year grant commitment. Could someone explain to me why Harvard, the wealthiest university in the world, gets $8.7 billion of our tax money? Now, I don't know what the roads are like in your neighborhoods, but we could use that money to fill some potholes in Memphis, Tennessee. I'm just saying, we could use that money to put some more police officers on the streets. And I suspect that many of you could find some pretty good uses for that $8 billion in your communities as well. This is unbelievable. So look, Trump's playing hardball with these people. You just got to go in and completely defund them, Mr. President. That's what you got to do. Just defund these yahoos. Oh, by the way, I promised you we were going to get to this. So there is some crazy stuff going down on Saturday Night Live. And they had a skit. They actually had two. One of them was mocking President Trump. They called it was a spoof off of White Lotus, and they called it White POTUS, and it was pretty despicable. It was pretty bad. But what was funny is they actually had to apologize, not because of all the ways they defamed President Trump and the First Lady, but because of what they said about a British actress. They were mocking her bad teeth, which, no offense to the people of the UK, but what's up with your dental hygiene over there? I don't know what's going on across the big pond, but that's some freaky stuff. So anyway, they had to apologize to the woman. Oh, we're so sorry we hurt your feelings. Hey, right, you so. Thank you. Okay, that's a Cockney accent, I guess. But anyway, they went after President Trump and Jesus, cut 12.
Hi, it's me, your favorite president, Donald Jesus Trump, comparing myself to the Son of God once again, you know. Many people are even calling me the Messiah because of the mess I made out of the economy. It's true, the stock market did a Jesus. It died, then on the third day it was risen. And then on the fourth day it died again, possibly never to return, just like Jesus.
Wow. Okay. They're going to answer to that one day. So the good news is, for those of you going to heaven in the afterlife, you won't have to worry about watching SNL. The bad news, I would say that Hitler and Gaddafi and all the other dictators in life, you're going to have wall-to-wall SNL episodes down at the Lake of Fire. So there you go. All right, folks, we've got to scoot out of here. It has been a great day. Don't forget the Todd Starnes Show tonight on Newsmax. Check them out, newsmax.com, for all your breaking news headlines. This is the Todd Starnes Show.